Hi, this is Bethany Finger, and you are listening to a Prince Kai Fan Pod Patreon exclusive bonus episode. Enjoy! Hi, everyone. I'm Bethany Finger.
And I'm Leah Stuhler. And we are here to bring you a very special episode today.
To Prince Kai Fan Pod YA Book Chat Podcast Patreon episode.
Yay! Special just for our Patreon.
Like our couple name?
Ooh, that's a like, good question.
You know, like Brandolina stuff, like what would be our couple name? Would it be like Prince Kai Book Chat or Y Fan Pod?
Or either one of those works.
Either one really of those funny. Like still kind of makes a good name, I think.
So, we should have our Patreons vote on that.
Yes.
Or give us suggestions.
Okay, hold on. Let me... My Patreon is usually on top of things. If I post, there's usually responses within like an hour. So maybe if I post it now, we'll have an answer by the end of the episode.
Okay. That sounds good.
Right?
Yep. I think that's a good idea.
You guys awesome. Have until the end of this episode to update me.
All right. No well, pressure. We are gathered here today for all of you to join us on a very special love. Occasion.
Whoa, love.
Yes. For the wedding of Cinder and Kai.
For the wedding of the century.
Yes, we are going to talk about Cinder's Adventure, Get Me to the Wedding by Marissa Meyer, an interactive book. I am so, oh, and we are going to have spoilers. So sorry, whole episode this time is going to have spoilers because it'd be really hard to do this without them. Cinder's Adventure. This was so much fun because this book, like, I don't know about you, Bethany, but this brought me back to my childhood because I used to read those choose your own adventure books all the time. Like I definitely had a phase where I would go to the library and the only thing I would get were the choose your own adventure books all the time.
I loved those books. The A to Z adventures where you got to, it was like, you know, if such and such go to page 283, if such and such go to page 27. And what's funny is I remember back when, and you guys can go listen to this episode, back on Happy Writer, when Marissa interviewed Tirza Price, who wrote Pride and Premeditation, which is a Jane Austen murder mystery retelling. I remember Marissa saying that she used to love the mystery adventure books where you got to choose your own ending. And I swear that was our queen giving us an Easter egg we didn't know about. As soon as the explanation for this book came out, like what it was about, I was like, didn't she mention that? And like, I went back to the episode and I was like, she told us about it. Yes. And if you guys missed it, I did get to interview her for the Santa Monica bookstore. I got to interview her like 2 weeks ago, I think, or one week ago,
something like that.
How does time work?
I don't know. It's a good question. We should ask him. Maybe we can meet him one day and ask him. Heartless and Alice in Wonderland reference. I don't know.
I want to say, like, so starting off, my decision going in, I was like, okay, first read through, I'm going to make decisions the way that I think Cinder would make a decision. So I'm going to pick the ending that I think Cinder would pick. So like at the end of chapter one, I was like, Cinder would follow Aiko. She wouldn't answer the door.
Exactly. For sure.
So I followed Aiko.
So did right. I.
So like I tried to make all of my decisions the first time around. I tried to make all of my decisions based on what I thought Cinder would actually decide to do. It took me like 11 tries to get to that chapter 8 ending because I kept trying to think of like, but this isn't what Cinder would do in this scenario. Like, like I know Cinder really well at this point, and I don't think that she would do these things. Like,
It took me a while too. I probably did like at least 7 or 8 before I finally got to the wedding. And even now, like, and then I would go, and then I, you know, I'm going back through and trying different things. And even then looking at it after, I was still like, how did I even get to the wedding? Like, I don't even remember what I did to get to the wedding anymore.
So I had like, a little notebook where I kept track of everything.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Every number. And I got to, I think I had was on like my 16th or 17th read. And I was like, okay, at this point, like what chapters have I not read yet? So like I went through and I found all the chapters that I hadn't read yet. And then kind of cross-referenced those with the like numbers of what I had done and finished it that way so that I knew I was reading every single chapter. But even that took effort. And there are, oh my goodness, if you remind me, I'll share it. But there are diagrams and graphs and like charts all over Instagram.
Random,
like TLC fans that are like, this is how I navigated through the story.
It's so crazy.
And it's incredible.
I really liked that she put the cast of characters at the front of it, because that helped me, because then I was able to look at the cast of characters and go, okay, which characters haven't I seen yet? So I know I still have like, I mean, I should have, it would have been made more sense to take notes like you did, but I didn't. So I kind of used the cast of characters to determine and be like, okay, I haven't seen these characters yet, which means there are definitely paths that I have not gone down yet. Yeah.
Right.
So, and then I was like, and then looking at it, when I was reading it, like looking at the cast of characters, I was like, well, who's, I was like, Peony, but she's dead. So why? I don't understand. And who is this other name? And then I was like, well, that's interesting. So then when I got to the chapter where those are Cinder and Kai's children, I was like, oh, okay. And I love babies. That. I love that she named her.
I also love like not Cinder related, but and Marissa said that there were Easter eggs in this book. She knows I was looking for them. She told me they are there. I am hoping we just got Renegades confirmation, because you finished the Renegade series, right?
Of course I did.
So if you're listening and you finished the Renegade series, you are probably like me and Leah, and you're like, but what about Magpie, yo? Well,
yes,
this book, Magpie makes an appearance and she literally says, I'm waiting to tell my story. So my brain is like, yes, another Renegades. I really hope it's a graphic novel like we got with Wires and Nerve. That would make me really happy.
That would be really cool.
Yes, I would love that.
Yeah, I remember when you were interviewing her, she did say that there were Easter eggs. And I was like, ooh, I'm going to, for a new project. And I was like, okay, either it's Magpie or I missed something and I'm going to have to go back through and read everything again. But I hope it's Magpie too.
I know she's talked about doing another book in the Instant Karma universe. And I think there were hints about it in this one, because we see Prudence the gang playing Dungeons and Dragons, which made me and my like gamer heart really happy. I think that's a clue that like maybe the next story we get is going to be in Jude's perspective, since he's like a big D&D person.
That, yeah. And that would be a lot of fun too. And she did say that she was going to do another Instant Karma, which I didn't
realize.
She has
ideas for another one. So
I'm really excited. Can I just tell you, when I got to the D&D chapter, I was like, what is happening right now? Because I didn't know, because I've never played it before.
I almost instantly knew. Like, I think I wasn't very far in when I figured out what was happening, because it was these three random people and they were describing their characters and the words that she used for their characters. I was like, that's a D&D word. That's a D&D term. That's a D&D character. And then it was like the big voice in the sky was like talking about the rules. And I was like, okay, this has to be Instant Karma, because Jude was the one who played Dungeons and Dragons. So I picked up on that really quickly. I don't know if people who don't play Dungeons and Dragons or aren't aware of it would pick up on that. They might not even realize that's what was happening, because if you don't play it, you probably right. are like, that was a weird chapter that makes no sense. Right.
Well, I mean, it took it. So I've never played Dungeons and Dragons, which I don't know. It seems weird to me. Like, I feel like because it was huge when I was growing up, so I feel like I should have, but for some reason like I never missed
out on something.
I do. I actually do feel like that sometimes. Like I watch Stranger Things and I'm like, I feel like that should have been me playing this. Like, why didn't I ever play this game? Anyway, but even though, so I was like, I didn't know what was that it was the D&D world, but I did figure out that it was somebody playing a game. Like I was like, oh, okay, I get it. She's in a game. Like somebody's playing a game. And then, you know, we find out at the end that it's Jude. But so I was like, oh, okay. So I did get it. I just didn't get right away that it was Dungeons and Dragons, but fine. Still.
I think that, there were some for me that they, not that they didn't make sense, but I could tell that she was reaching a little bit, especially with the four different choices for Heartless. So when you get to Jason, you get to pick the door, and it's mad martyr monarch. Murderer.
Yes.
And I picked mad the first time because Cinder has this realization of like, wait, mad also means crazy. So maybe I'm mad right now because I'm, you know, going through this lunacy. So that first time through, I picked mad because I thought, well, this is madness. But I eventually had to go back and pick each door. And yeah. I think all of the Heartless stuff kind of got complicated, which just tells me that there has to be a room somewhere at Marissa's house with a cork board red yarn.
I'm sure there is.
Yes, like different colored yarn all over the wall, post-it, giant X's, question marks, like a broken heart somewhere.
Well, and then
We got three happy endings that are really important.
Yes. Like this is what I was going to say. We got a Heartless happy ending. Yes. And I
immediately messaged Cassie from Of Slippers and Spindles. Immediately. I was like, did you read this? You have to read this. And she's like, well, I didn't want to get spoilers for this, this and that. And I'm like, okay, just read these numbers.
Yeah, just read these chapters. Okay. Cause this is Heartless and, it's fine. I know. I was like, as I read through each one, I was like, wait, Kath and Jess end up together and she's going to open a bakery and everything's good. Oh, yay.
Uncle Jess and Aunt Kath.
Oh my gosh. I loved that. It was so sweet. It was one of my favorite endings.
I remember like every time I read a Heartless chapter, I was like, is she going to give us the ending she knows we all wanted? I'm like, and the first two I read, that wasn't the case. So I was like, oh, cool. This is just like breaking my heart multiple times. Thanks.
Right.
Cool.
Yep.
Thanks.
As that book does. So then
the two we got where like Kath and Jess survived and lived happily ever after, I was like, phew. At least in some alternate universe somewhere, that story had a happy ending.
I totally, the first time I went through whichever ending it was, there was an option of like Cinder running away from the Jabberwocky or jumping on its back. And I was like, oh, she's totally going to jump on that sucker's back. Come on. Like that was the first thing that I picked. I was like, cause she's Cinder. We're jumping on the Jabberwocky's back and we're going to fly this baby wherever we need to go. It was so fun.
There were definitely times where I was like, okay, I get that this has to be a choice to move the story forward, but I don't think that this is a choice Cinder would actually make.
Yeah. The hardest parts for me was actually with the gilded scenes.
Because I struggled a lot with her like relinquishing that kind of control to a strange, creepy guy in a castle.
Yeah. And like the scene where it ends, the ending where she goes with him and she's on the horse and feeling like Cirilla does when she, you know, goes on the horse with the hunt. I was like, and that was the ending. I was like, that's just not right. Like, it just doesn't feel right. Cinder wouldn't do that, you know?
Cinder wouldn't, like, the thing is, like, Cinder is not a go-with-the-flow character. She's
right.
The character that says, I don't care if being a queen is my destiny. I just want to leave New Beijing and get an apartment in Europe somewhere. Mm-hmm. I don't care that I have this lunar gift. I just want a foot that fits. She is not the leader of a revolution because she has this inner desire to lead people into safety and harmony. She's, you know, this was the card she was dealt and she's doing her best with it. So when it comes time to like run headfirst into danger for no reason, Cinder's going to be like, no, yeah. I've lived that life. It's not fun. I'm going to stay right here.
Yeah.
So there were certain things like when, you know, like when you get to the carriage, you have a choice. Cinder can either drive the carriage herself or she can get in and just let them take her somewhere. My brain was like, Cinder's going to drive if she can. Oh, I don't know why she would be allowed to drive, but if she's given the option, she's not just going to get in and be like, sure, let's go to your friend's house. This is totally cool.
Right. Right. I don't know. I just, yeah, it was just like everything else. I felt like worked, like I could make sense of it, but the gilded endings just didn't feel connected enough for me. It was just kind of weird.
I liked the ending where it was like Cerilda telling a story.
Yes.
I like that where it turned out to be like too. Cerilda was telling a story, and then was it Gertrude that was like, but she was real, I actually met her.
Mm-hmm.
Like that was really fun because I was like, okay, there's a degree of plausibility there, if that makes sense.
Yes.
That makes sense for anything does. That happened in this book.
I liked that ending too. I think it just felt weird in my mind. I couldn't comprehend putting Cinder into the gilded world. I don't know. Like that one for me made the least, it just didn't connect as much as my head as I could put her in all these other worlds, but I couldn't put her in the gilded world for some reason, but it's all right. I do love though when she ends up going into the Renegades world and they're all like asking her about her superpowers and stuff. She's like, my superpowers? What are you talking about? And then they're like, yeah, where'd you get that that add-on, your hand and all this stuff? And she's like, I have no idea what's going on right now. This
again,
is so weird.
Like with Magpie, there was a choice. She could either follow Magpie and try to get her ring back, or she could go the other direction. And again, I'm like, she would go get her ring back.
Right. Totally.
Like, she's not afraid of this person that stole her ring. She just wants her ring. So like, yeah, I don't know. I might be the only one that did that. I might be the only one that was like trying to make decisions based on just what I thought Cinder would actually do.
Oh yes. That's possible. I loved Aiko as the bunny. Like it just makes sense. You know what I mean?
It perfectly fits, right?
Aiko is the white rabbit and like, we're going to follow her. I feel like that was like the easiest connection was Cinder in the Heartless world. It just made so much sense because let's be honest, Alice in Wonderland and Heartless, all crazy
Cinder
anyway.
So I also love that it's like really easy to believe that Aiko is just randomly wearing ears.
Oh yeah.
She's like, oh, that must be like some new trend.
Yes. Totally realistic. So
I will say, and this is probably like really, really silly of me. Maybe not silly, maybe just whiny. This is whiny of me. Because I'm so happy that we got like this great conclusion that we know. I mean, we knew, but now we know for sure that Cinder and Kai end up married and having a family. But right. I would have liked a slight hint at what was going on with everybody else. Maybe Cinder walks in on Thorne proposing to Kress. Maybe like in one of the scenarios, Scarlet is holding a baby, or Jason is like twirling a stethoscope around his hand or something. Like I just wanted some kind of nod as to what was going on with everybody else.
That would have been cool.
And I know she can't do that, but.
Right. I mean, you can't do everything, but at least we got you know, some, we got a wedding. So that was good. I got to the ending.
Do you think we'll get anything for the rest of the books though?
I don't know. I think
I feel like with Cinder, it makes sense because it was like her first book. It was the start of the series, but like, I don't know if there's going to be like a Scarlet version, maybe not a Scarlet's Adventure, but like a Scarlet special edition cover or anything like that. I just don't know. I could see her doing it, but I could also see her being like, no, with Cinder, it made sense. With everything else, it just felt like marketing. You know,
I think we're probably just going to get the special edition stuff for Cinder because it's the first one and it's kind of like the big deal, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
one of the earlier endings that I got before I made it to the wedding was when Cinder is having a nightmare and she wakes up and then she's in bed with Kai and they're already married. And I was like, shoot, I skipped.
I was like, oh, and I remember I got to the one where they were like in the middle of the wedding and I was like, so she just like daydreamed that whole thing.
Yeah.
My favorite ending is chapter 8. It turns out this is a story she's reading to their kids as it's time for bed. That
I love that too.
Obviously that ending also gives us a happy ending for Kath and Jest. So yeah, that's gotta be my favorite. Hands down.
I agree.
Definitely.
I agree because
you have a least favorite.
Yeah. The one where she rides off on the hunt with the Earl King.
I was going to say the same thing. Definitely the one where she rides off and loses like her sense of self. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Just because I don't think it's within character for Cinder to make the decisions that would lead her there. And just to be clear, I am a Lunar Chronicles expert. I have been given that certification by Marissa herself.
Nice.
I am not questioning our great and powerful queen and saying that Marissa made mistakes. I am saying that I personally don't think Cinder would behave that way, but she needed to behave that way so you could get to that ending in the book. Right. I also don't think that Marissa thinks she would behave that way because that wasn't our final ending. That was a ha-ha, go back to the beginning ending. So I'm not like challenging Marissa's decisions. I'm just saying like there are certain decisions that don't lead to a happy ending because those aren't the decisions that Cinder would make. So I don't want anybody to think that like that Bethany is like, Marissa wrote those characters, Bethany. Like she knows them better than you. She does. But that doesn't mean that I don't know them really well.
If anybody knows them, it's besides her, it is you. Like you are number two. There's Marissa because she created everything and then you're right after her. Like there's,
and then I'm like right next to it.
Yes. You are right after her. There's nobody else.
Time in this universe as I do and not come away with like a vast knowledge of information.
Yeah.
Like, you know, all those memes online where people are like, they're like, I'm just waiting for Harry Potter to be considered classic literature so I can be considered an expert. That's me, but with Lunar Chronicles. Not that I don't also know an insane amount of information about Harry Potter, but.
You are an expert on the Lunar Chronicles. So everything, Marissa, really, but especially the Lunar Chronicles. Okay, let me ask you this. Were there any decisions that were like when it came time to make a decision that you were like, it was hard to make because like when Cinder is in, when we're in, again, this is a gilded one for me when she's with Guild. Yeah. Well, like when she's with
Guild. There's two gilded ones I can think of off the top of my head.
Well, mine, the hardest one for me was when she's with Guild and she has to decide to give him the ring or not. So I was like, there's no way she'd never give up Kai's ring. So I of course didn't choose that. But then when I was going back through after I ended up, you know, at the wedding and I was like, well, I'm going to go back through and just pick a whole bunch of other stuff. I got to that choice again. I was like, well, I have to pick the opposite one, but this is hard. Like this hurts because like, I almost didn't want to pick her giving him the ring. I'm like, I don't want her to give Kai's ring away. No, don't. So that was like a hard one for me to pick.
No, that one. And then definitely there were others, like when it got to the point where it was like, do you tell the Earl King the truth or a lie? I'm like, Cinder wouldn't care. She would just tell the truth. She has nothing to gain or lose by giving away that information.
Right. It's
and
totally
then
different.
It got to the part where it was like, would you try to get the ring back or would you jump through the mirror? I was like, I don't feel like she would jump through the mirror without the ring. Like every scenario right. where she didn't try to get the ring back didn't make sense for me.
No, because that ring is really important to her. So she has to, I did that too. Like I did, the choices were all like, my first ones were all of her, like following the ring when it got taken. I was like, no, we have to get that ring back. Yeah.
Follow the ring. I love that. That could be a tagline for this episode.
Ooh, yes. Following the ring.
Follow the ring.
I love this too. I just happened to, like, I'm looking through this as we're recording and I got to the ending where she wakes up and, you know, she's had a nightmare and she's with Kai and they're already married. And he says to her, he says, do you want to go back to sleep? Or should we sneak down to the kitchens and see what they've got for late night stress eating?
Yes, I love it. Which also because like right now, as we're recording this, my husband and I are relocating to Nevada, which means everything we own is in boxes. I'm actually talking to Leah with a beautiful background of boxes.
It's hilarious, you guys. It's hilarious.
Backdrop I have going on. All the boxes in my library, there are 719 books, in case anybody is wondering. That is a lot.
Yes, it is, but it's okay.
The movers were just like, what? How many books?
Just pretend. Just take the boxes.
But
it's fine.
Because of that, our food options have been limited, and there has been a lot of, like, what'd you have for dinner? Oreos? mm-hmm. Nice. I think we've gone through like 4 boxes of Oreos in the last week, and then it's because what are you gonna eat, you know?
All right,
so we've been getting like drive-through food or TV dinners or Oreos or all of the above in one day.
Well, you know, you gotta do what you gotta do.
It's just, we don't leave for like 4 more days, so it's like we still have 4 more days of eating like 10-year-olds that just got a credit card for the first time.
See, and this ending too is funny because it's so perfect because it's like all the things that we would think about with the two of them. Because she's freaking out because she thinks that she lost her wedding ring and he didn't lose it. He tells her she didn't lose it. And he goes, but I can absolutely see Aiko wearing bunny ears and probably starting an international trend. Because it's so true.
Exactly. Intergalactic trend.
True. Yes.
Instead of an international trend, it's an intergalactic trend. I thought that was really cute.
That's right. It's super fun.
I remember in that chapter, I was kind of hoping that when they were talking about snacks, I was like, that would have been like a good opportunity, I think, to have been like, you know, let's go see if there's any more of Kat's lemon in the kitchen or something.
But
they can't every ending can't make us happy. So I get why she couldn't, but I would have liked it if that ending had been like, let's go see if there's any more of Kat's like tea or cupcakes or whatever in the kitchen.
But it did end with Marissa's good humor because he says, you know, let's see what they've got for late night stress eating. And she says, I knew there was a reason I married you. And that's the last sentence.
My favorite ending is definitely the one where they're reading to their kids, but there are 3 possible happy endings? ?
Yes, kind of. And that
one. So there's the wedding. There's the one where she like comes to in the middle of the ceremony.
Yes.
There's the one where Kai wakes her up from the dream. And there's the one where it's her reading this story to their children.
Yes.
Am I missing one?
No. Those are
all the happy ending.
Yes.
Right.
Well, I mean, the one where Cyril died.
There's one that's like a partial happy ending. There's one where it goes all the way back. Cinder's at the marketplace.
Yes.
And she wakes up from this dream. And Kai is like approaching the booth in his gray hoodie. So that's like a partial happy ending because it's like a prologue precursor to
yes.
The entire like Lunar Chronicles series. So I'll give that one like a half a happy.
I actually really liked that ending too, because it kind of takes you full circle. Yeah, I thought that circle. Was
really sweet.
Yeah, it was fun because she has this dream. In
canon.
Mm-hmm. It totally was.
Yeah.
I really like the ending too, where it's Cerilda telling a story to the children.
I love that one.
And then, cause it's so sweet. And then, you know, they're asking her questions. And then, again, at the very end, we have the Marissa humor, right? Because she's talking to Gertrude and Gertrude says, "I just have a question about the story." Cerilda says, "All right, go on." Says,
"Go on, go ahead.
I just wanted to know, what in the name of Wydearth is a cyborg?" And that's the end.
And I love that though, because again, it like brings you back to the realism of like how she's trying to connect these stories.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like with the Lunar Chronicles, we get the most amount of endings. We have Stars Above. We have two graphic novels. We even have a COVID 128 short story, which, you know, might seem like a throwaway. If you haven't read it, here's a spoiler, but it does give us a lot of information.
Right.
All of the couples are still together, happily ever after. Jason is in medical school trying to save the world. Thorin has a podcast, which makes the most sense in the entire world. I love that. Like, of course, Thorin has a podcast called The Happy Captain. Like, 1,000%. Somebody, please go produce that podcast. I would love it every week. I will advertise you myself. Like,
oh my gosh, I really want to now. Oh my, that's so hilarious. Oh my gosh, that would just be the best thing. Could you imagine? Like, I would pay to listen to that podcast.
Yes, you know who should do it? Drew should do it from Of Flipper. He has such a pleasant speaking voice.
He really does.
I would listen to him pretend to be Thorin for an hour a day. That would be fine with me.
So would I. Okay, Drew, we have just
volunteering Drew for more work.
Yes, we're just giving him these. We're gonna have to tell him now. So yeah, we've just given him the work. It's fine.
Drew,
it's
you
fine.
Have a new assignment.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, I think out of all the series, the Lunar Chronicles is where we got the most endings for all of our characters. So Heartless, I mean, we kind of know where it's going because we know that it's an origin story for the Queen of Hearts.
Right.
But you got the ending that story needed. And we don't really know what happens to Kath and everybody else after that, but we also don't really care. Like, we know that she becomes the Queen of Hearts and that, you know, she's got a mean streak. We know that Hada eventually loses his mind, you know, so we don't really care about some of that stuff.
Right.
The Renegades left a lot of things open.
Yes, it did.
I'm hoping, because that means she's going to give us a magpie story.
Oh gosh, I really hope so. Like, of all of these instant books, karma, that's what I want.
Instant Karma, she left pretty open. But from the beginning with Instant Karma, she said she had ideas to do other books in that series. And then Gilded, we haven't even gotten the sequel to yet. So out of everything she's written, Lunar Chronicles has the most amount of endings.
Yes.
So if she can write another book for any series, even if it's like this, I want it to be Renegades. That's just me personally.
No, I agree completely, because of anything, of all of them, that's the one that I felt like was needed more to it because of the ending of the last book. Like, she leaves you with this and you're like, Magpie is her sister, and now I need to know if
a lot of people that finished Supernova and they were like, "Oh, I didn't pick up on that being her sister," and I'm like, "You should read it again." But I think these are also the same people that are like, "Hada wasn't in love with Jess," and I'm like, "You should read it again.
You need to read that again too, because he totally was."
Yeah, it's pretty, I mean, I know it's like one sentence at the end, but it's also one sentence that makes your brain go click.
But it's also even though he only says it in one, like that one sentence out loud, it's mm-hmm. written in there with the way that he acts and all the things that he does throughout the book, the way that he's so protective of Jest and careful, and the way that he treats Kath in a lot of the book. Like, it's mm-hmm. clear that it is there. So
he's very, it's definitely supported within the text.
Yes.
And I think that when you read this, the Renegade series again as a whole, Magpie being her sister is supported in the text. Now,
yep.
if you want to wait 3 to 5 years, I will have plenty of Easter eggs explaining that to you when we go over
the
Renegade series, but it will be a while.
I definitely had to go back though, because I didn't, like, there were certain things with Magpie throughout the books that mm-hmm. caught my attention, but I was like, huh, that's interesting. But then I like didn't really give it too much more thought until the end of the last book when we got that epilogue. The
biggest clue for me, which, and maybe this wasn't an intentional clue at all, but if you go back and read the series, constantly Magpie is a nuisance to Nova, much yeah. in the same way an annoying little sister would be.
That is very true.
Which might be just like a really, really, really subtle nod, but she just seems to be like this persistent thorn in Nova's side that's like constantly there when she shouldn't be and always trying to get involved, and she takes Nova's stuff, and
that's really just true.
Like someone who has 7 sisters. I think that was where my brain went to.
You see, and I have a younger sister too. I should have thought about it that way, but I never did. But anyway, so hopefully this ending in here does mean that we're going to get a Magpie story. Okay.
That would be really happy. I know that I've mentioned I would love it if it was a graphic novel. I know that it doesn't have to be. Whatever ending Marissa gives me, I will be grateful. But I loved her Aiko graphic novels, and mm-hmm. I think that the Renegade series itself could have been a graphic novel series and would have been very successful. Yes. And so I think that if she was going to continue that story and that world that she created, a graphic novel would be the next logical step.
Yes, that makes sense. And it would fit really, yeah. it just would fit so well with that world. I mean, it's superheroes and villains. So of course it fits, you know.
And you know, if you think about it, the ending we got in Supernova left more than Magpie open. There's right. still a lot of discontent. Mm-hmm. There's still a sort of clash between like the right and the wrong and the good and the bad and the evil and the not evil. And so I think that there's more to be explored there than just Magpie's story.
True.
So.
Right. I want to do something fun. I want to do something fun. All right. So. I'm at the book open and I'm at the beginning. I want to, now we've done it. Like you said, you went through and did it. Like, what would Cinder do? And I kind of went through
what I thought Cinder would do. Yeah.
Right. And when I was doing it, I was like, I don't know what seems fun. So, but I think we should do like, what would Leah and Bethany do? Like in all reality, what mm-hmm. choices would we make? Okay. So choice number one, would you follow Aiko out the window or would you knock at answer the door? She's contemplating.
I would probably follow Aiko because I trust my best friends implicitly.
I do too.
If my best friend jumped out a window, I'd be like, what? And I would also jump out the window.
I actually would too.
What about you?
I would too. I would totally do it. Okay, so we follow Aiko out the window. So our next choice here is, do we drink what's in the bottle or do you walk away? What would you do?
I would walk away. You do not drink an unknown substance. Sorry, I don't care who gives it to you. That is how people get poisoned. That is how your mouth gets turned blue at a party in high school. Like, I'm not drinking Kool-Aid, okay? I'm leaving. I'm going to say thanks for the offer. I hope y'all have a great tea party. I'm out.
I completely agree with you. And I think the first time through when I did this, No, the first time through when I picked it, I had her drink it just because it was Alice in Wonderland and that's what Alice does. But like me personally, I would not drink it either. Okay, so we're going to walk away. Let's see. We go to this next chapter.
I wonder if our age is showing, but we both grew up knowing what drink the Kool-Aid actually means.
This is true.
We were alive during Jamestown. We lived through the fear of what actually happened.
Yes.
So I wonder if that's like our age being like, no, drink the Kool-Aid means die of cyanide with 900 people. So we're not like, I wonder if other people would be like, why are they so hesitant to drink the Kool-Aid? And if you are, just look up Georgetown. Jonestown, read about it on Wikipedia and then tell me if you would drink the Kool-Aid.
Yeah, I don't think any of you would drink the Kool-Aid. Nope.
Not if you knew the reality.
All right. So we have walked away from the drink and then we find out that, so she's still with Cress. She's leaving. Oh, and she comes to the fork in the road with an arrow pointing towards Peter Peter's pumpkin patch or going to Marchenfeld. Which way would you go?
I would go to the pumpkin patch just because I love pumpkin patches.
Oh, okay. See, I would pick Marchenfeld because I'd be like, oh, a town, people, somebody who can help me. I'm going to go this way.
Cinder would pick it. Because the first time I read it, I was like, Cinder would want to go towards civilization because that's how she's going to find her way back to Kai. So when I got to that chapter, that's why I had Cinder go, because I thought she would go to the place where she could get help. So she would go to the village.
Yeah.
Personally, I like pumpkin patches. So if I'm already on a wacky adventure, I'm going to the pumpkin patches. Maybe I'll get me some hot cider and pumpkin pie and have me a nice afternoon and go to the village when I'm done.
Unfortunately, this is not that kind of pumpkin patch.
I know, and it's really upsetting.
I know. Okay, well, we're going to go pumpkin patch because even though I would go to the city, Cinder would as well. So we're not going to go that way. All right. So you go to the pumpkin patch and then, okay, Hadda and Kath and Jess, they're in the middle of the battle with the Jabberwock. And okay, Bethany, throw the hat to Kath or do you reach inside of it?
I throw the hat to Kath because that is what they asked me to do.
I would too, because
I don't know anything about this magic hat. I don't know why they need it so bad, but I know that like shit's hitting the fan. Uh-huh. There is obviously a lot of drama and tension. There's probably like music in the background that sets the theme. So I'm guessing that hat is really important. So I'm giving them the hat. That's what they asked for. They're fighting for their lives. If that's the help I can give them, that's what I'll do.
That's what I would do too. I'd be like, okay, something dangerous. They obviously need this thing. So I'm going to toss them this hat.
Right. I don't know. Like, this is weird that you guys need a hat to save your lives, but whatever.
It's fine. I mean, you know, that's what I would do too. Because what am I going to do with the thing? Like, why would I know?
And that's also what I had Cinder do, because I was like, Cinder wouldn't know that she needs to reach her hand in here and pull out the sword Neville Longbottom style. She would hear people and help and they would be like, can you hand me that hat? And she'd be like, sure, here you go.
Yep. All right. So we are throwing Kath the hat.
Okay.
And then, oh, this is the one where the Jabberwock gets killed and Peter is all mad and Cinder's like, what the heck is going on? Peter comes at them with the axe and then Cinder's like, okay, so here's our decision. Do we head for the gate to get out of the pumpkin patch or do you join in the fight against Peter with his axe?
Honestly, I would join the fight.
Really?
I'm not a big fighter. Guys, I'm 5 feet tall, okay? I'm 5 feet tall. I weigh like 150 pounds. There's not a whole lot I'm going to accomplish, okay? But I have been in situations like that before, and my instincts usually kick in. So I got to say, I would probably, I think it would be one of those things that would like haunt me emotionally if I didn't get involved.
Okay, that makes sense. Whereas I, Leah, would be the scaredy cat and be like, yo, I don't know what's going on with these crazy people, but she just pulled a huge sword out of this magic hat, killed this giant dragon type beast. And now a crazy man is coming after her with an axe. I am out of here. That would be me.
I think, I have to say, I think not that anybody asked, but my husband would also be like, self-preservation, dude. Huh. Time to go.
That's right. I am out.
Which, I mean, honestly, there haven't been a lot of situations that have presented themselves to me where I've had to choose between my own safety and saving strangers from a dragon and a madman with an axe. So maybe I would run, but I like to think that I would help. Who knows? Maybe I'd be like, I've got dogs at home, so I can't really do this. I got to leave. I will call 911 for you while I'm running away.
Yep. That's good. Okay.
I'll call for backup, but I got to go.
Which one? All right. So we would both pick something different here. So which one did you have Cinder pick that you thought Cinder would do?
I think I had Cinder leave.
Okay, then we're going to go join the fight because
I will say with that one, I struggled because I could see Cinder wanting to join the fight and help people out. But I could also see Cinder being like, look, it seems like they have it under control. I don't really know the whole story. And I still have to figure out what happened to Aiko. So I could see her, you know, kind of walking away, kind of like what she did on the moon. There were several cases where she could have jumped in and helped. And she was like, yeah, but I have priorities. It looks like they've got it under control and I have priorities. So I think that was my decision-making process.
Okay. All right. So we're gonna join the fight, Bethany, because Bethany would join the fight. All right. So she jumps in here. This is another funny part. When we get to this part, if you pick that she's joining in the fight, Peter's got the axe. Cinder stoops down and picks up a pumpkin and throws it at him because what else does she have
at her disposal?
It hits him.
She probably still has her finger gun.
Probably, but
in her, like, so I feel like that was a misstep on her part. Use the finger gun, Cinder.
I just think it's funny.
Take off your boot and throw it. That's gonna have more of an impact.
It'll go further than the pumpkin.
Like,
I mean,
pick up some of the dirt in his eyes so he can't see, like throwing a pumpkin. All right.
I don't know. But she says, he turns around to face her after she hits him. And she says, just a warning. My fiance is way better at talking things through than I am. Meaning like, you're going to get it. Just get pummeled from me. So then she picks up another one.
I love her saying that though. I love her being like, look, my fiance is great at solving things diplomatically, but I like to throw punches. So
yes. Oh, this is the one where she like dies. because he throws the axe at her, and then we go to chapter. Oh, this is the one where we just ended with Cirilla telling the story.
Yeah.
That's where we ended. Because he throws the axe at Cinder and then everything goes black. And then it's Cirilla telling this, and no one lived happily forevermore. The end. Sorry, Beth.
So we just died.
Bethany and Leah died.
Well, what would you do? Let's go back two chapters. So you wouldn't join the fight. You would leave.
No, I would leave. I have to find
Leah's
it
like,
now.
I've got kids at home. I need to leave.
Listen, I'm not jumping into anything that I don't need to. I mean, what's funny is thinking about it, like in Alice in Wonderland, okay, Alice, she has moments more in Through the Looking Glass, because Through the Looking Glass has some more interesting, like weird, crazy things that happen than in the first one. So but she comes across some situations like this where she's like, I think I'm just going to go. Like, I don't know what's happening here with all of you, but I'm just going to go now. So, okay. I'm trying to find where that decision was because now I can't find it. Shoot.
That's the hard part about keeping up with. I wonder if I should post all of my answers. So the first read through, I did chapters 1, 2, 3, 20, 29, and 60.
Okay. You should post them. I think that would be fun for people to see. See, I can't remember because I didn't keep track. Oh my gosh. I'm totally.
I had to keep track because otherwise I would have just kept picking the same ones over and over and over again.
Okay. Hold on. I'm getting back to there. So we went to the pumpkin patch. I had to go all the way back. She throws the hat. Okay. Here we go. Now we're going to leave. All right. So now, so we joined the fight and we died. So now if we instead head to the gate to get out of there, let's see what happens. All right. So
this type of book used to be printed on paper. It was almost always very thin and it was a paperback book. So you literally would flip through the pages. On the Kindle, you like push a button and it takes you directly to that page, which is great. But it also makes it really hard when you want to just like go back one step.
Yes, it does. Yeah,
which is why I had to take notes.
Okay. All right. So now we're leaving. We're leaving and we go away from there. And let's see, after we go through the gate, what happens? She finds herself, we find ourselves in a graveyard. We're in a graveyard with skyscrapers all around it. And there's one girl in it who's farther away. Oh, here we are. And now we're in. I love this. Is your superpower the cyborg hand doodad? Or traveling through space portals? Because both are decent powers, but they don't really go together. So I have to know, but you don't have both. So we end up in Renegade's Land here. In Gatlin City.
Can I say I also love Cinder's line about Gotham City?
Yes, that was hilarious.
Her little call out of like, yes, I get it, Gatlin, Gotham, I know what I did there.
Yes, I did this. All right, so we are at Callum's grave, visiting the grave with Magpie.
Yes.
Okay, so do we... What would you do? Would you go investigate the dig site in the graveyard or would you go chase after Magpie?
Magpie has my engagement ring. I am following that bitch. Okay.
Yeah, me too. Totally. There's no way.
Sorry.
I'm not. There's no way I'm not.
That thing is important to me. I gotta go. That girl stole my ring. Follow the ring, people.
Exactly.
This is what I would do. I just revealed to everyone how I am, how attached I am to inanimate objects. Sorry. I really like my ring. If someone snatched it, I'd be pretty upset.
It's an engagement ring. It's a big deal.
It's a family heirloom. Well, for her, not me. Mine's new, but.
Same.
Like Clinton picked mine out, but hers is a family heirloom that belongs as much to the Eastern Commonwealth as it does to Kai. So you have to explain to the entire Eastern Commonwealth how you let some teenage girl steal your ring and just walk away.
Yep.
It's like you can take down a tyrant on the moon with superpowers, but you can't get your ring back from some teen bopper.
No.
Come on, Cinder. Go get that ring, girl.
All right. So we are chasing Magpie. I loved this part when she chases Magpie and then Magpie is all of a sudden like tries to cause a scene and calls Cinder an anarchist to let everybody. And Cinder's like, well, that's a bit melodramatic.
I loved that. I thought, yeah, that's what Cinder would think at that moment. I could believe that.
Totally. It's hilarious. So then Cinder is about to get arrested. Let's see. Okay. So do you, Bethany, would you use your lunar gift to get away or do you go with the renegades and let them arrest you? You go with them without a fight.
I would use my gift. If I have that power, I'm getting my ring back and I'm going home.
A good idea.
I have a wedding ticket too.
I know.
My fiance is waiting for me. I don't know these people. I don't know their rules. And I, as Bethany, have a like fear of going to jail and prison. And TV shows like Orange is the New Black make it look like you can go to prison for anything, even if you didn't do it. So I have like a phobia of being in jail. So yeah, no, I'm not just going to follow them and be like, sure, let's see if your justice system works out for me. I'm going to use my gift. I'm going to say, look, I'm really sorry I'm controlling all of you guys, but you started it. I'm going to grab my ring. I'm going to go home.
I agree. I also have this really deathly fear of what would of getting sent to jail for like being wrongly accused of something and getting sent to jail. So I would do the same thing. So Leah and Bethany are going to use their lunar gift to get away now. All right. So
I will say my husband, possibly because he's military, my husband is a rule follower. So he would go.
Yeah.
If they said like, hey, we need to take you down to the station for some questioning. You're not in trouble. We just need to know what happened. He would go. So, you know, if he's there with me, I might be stuck going.
Mine would do the same,
but I wouldn't be happy about it.
See, if we were together, if we were together, right? Like, and with our husbands, we could, our husbands could go and you and I could use our gift and escape.
Right?
Yeah.
Be like, you got this, babe.
It's fine. You'll get out of it. You didn't do anything wrong. See you later.
Quentin is very charismatic and everyone seems to like him, no matter what he does or says. So I think he could probably talk his way out of something. He's also extremely logical and he's one of those people that will drop information. Like, you know how on TV shows, someone will randomly be like, oh, what's a good example? You saw My Cousin Vinny, right? I just assumed you have.
Yes. Well, I am
the scene where she's in the courtroom and she just randomly knows like everything about the car. And they're like, oh, wow. Okay. Didn't see that coming. That's Quentin. He just randomly knows everything. So people would be like, it's against this law. And he would be like, well, actually, according to Article 17 of Graph 9 of the law from 1962, like, and I don't know where he got that information, but I feel like he would do that because he does that at work where he's like, well, according to the AFI. And I'm like, who keeps track of all this stuff?
He could talk himself out of it. Like he'd be fine if he went downtown with them.
Talking himself out of it.
He'd be totally fine.
I genuinely 100% believe that Quentin could talk himself out of it. By the end of it, him and Adrian would be going to get craft beers.
Nice. I could see that.
By the end of it, Quentin would be like, have you ever had a craft beer? I love IPAs. And Adrian would be like, oh, I just turned 21. And Quentin would be like, come on, I'll buy the first round. And that would be like how that worked out.
Nice. Oh, all right. Let's see. All right. So we're using our lunar gift, which is easy to use on a magpie, but not so easy to use on Adrian. So he doesn't use it. Then this is where our, the line comes in. Was he a shell? Did they have shells in? She frowned, unable to remember the name of the city. Gotham? Gatling? There's our Gotham line. I love this too. Cause she says, I'm just trying to get home. And the boy chuckled. Honestly, at this point, I think we'd all like you to go home, which is
perfect nice. Answer. Which I also thought was a very Quint style answer.
Mm-hmm. It is
totally different character and story, but I could see Quinn talking a line like that or Thorn.
All right. So then Max comes in. Oh, and I love this other line that's in this chapter too, because Adrian is trying to get her or to help her go home. Right. And he says, what did you want me to, he's asking Max, what did you want me to draw? And Max says, how about a pumpkin carriage? And just like a pumpkin, what? Like, yep. Nods to our favorite story there. All right. So let's see. Okay. So they draw her a carriage and then, which smells of pumpkin pie. So we get into the carriage smelling of pumpkin pie. And despite being a pumpkin, the interior of the carriage is surprisingly lavish, which I love. An iron sconce.
Of course it is.
Is in there. Okay. So we're in the carriage And we are riding to, we are arriving at the Earl King's castle. We have not gone down a good path here, Bethany. Yep, we are now in the Earl King's castle. We're looking at the tapestries on the wall, all the fun stuff. And then she realizes, oh, and then we get put in the room. Oh my goodness, this is a longer one. Oh, and then we meet Guild. Okay. All right. So I know the answer to this one, but I have to ask anyway. So we're with Guild now. Do we exchange the ring for his help, or do you try to escape on your own? Which would you do?
I would try to escape on my own just because I like to think I'm more of a badass than I am. So I know me, and I know there's a part of my brain that's like, I can escape this prison cell, even though I have no expertise or way of doing it. And I've never done that before. I could totally figure this out.
Oh yeah. Well, and then we have the issue of the heirloom engagement ring again, which exactly. We've talked about. And I would also, I'd be like,
dude, can you take anything else besides my ring? I have a metal hand.
Right? I'd be like...
you can take my metal hand. That's way easier to replace.
I'll get a new one. I'd be like, so listen, if you're a ghost and you're magic and all, and you can just pop in and out of places, how's about you pop on the other side of this door and open it up from the other side?
And unlock it.
Right? Okay. I would also choose trying to escape on my own because I'm not giving up my ring.
I will add, not that this is in there, but I will add that there is a third option that is not presented in that chapter. And I think it's Cinder using her gift on Guild.
But do you think it would work on a poltergeist?
I think she would try.
Yeah, she could try. I don't think it would work, but she could try.
I don't think it would work either, but she could try.
True. That would have been like a really, maybe Marissa thought of it, but that would have been a really short option after that. It wouldn't have gone anywhere.
Yeah. That would have been like an extra paragraph of dialogue of like, shoot, it didn't work. And him being like, what didn't work? And she'll be like, never mind.
And on to the next option.
Yes. All right. Which is?
So we are trying to escape ourselves, which we do. And we go outside and find there's a party in full swing. Oh, and we're back in Wonderland now. we're in the Queen's.
By the way, this is probably one of the longest read-throughs because some of them go so far back to the beginning that the options you're given now double your story length. Because I know there were some times where I would go back to Wonderland and I'm like, oh, I have to go through all of that again.
Mm-hmm. And we've now gone back to Wonderland, but we're in the Queen of Hearts. I actually thought this was hilarious because Scarlet is the Queen of Hearts and Wolf. It's there as like her king, and it's hilarious. So they're playing croquet. We are spotted as an intruder. Okay, so do you, Bethany, do you run away or do you tranquilize Wolf?
I know that the tranquilizers will not hurt Wolf, so I'm gonna trank him. Obviously, something is wrong. He's my friend and he's trying to harm me.
Yeah.
I know that there have been times in the past where he has been under lunar mind control. And if I really am Cinder, I have hit him with that dart before. I don't have a problem doing it again.
I agree. Because my other thought, my other thing is this, if it's me, right? And I'm there and I know this person and it's Wolf and he's big, big dude and he's swinging an axe. I know that I'm not going to be able to just run away and escape from him. So I'm going to need to dart him. I'm going to need to tranquilize.
If nothing else, like me being the person I am, I'll like try to run away and trip on a tree root and like fracture my jaw and never be able to get away. So yeah. I'm going to tell you guys right now, 90% of the answers, if it's me, is going to be self-preservation unless I see an opportunity to be a hero. And then I like to think that I would be heroic and help other people, but who knows? Maybe I just like lend them my pepper spray and leave.
I'm totally the same. I like almost hate to admit it, but I am totally the same. I would
don't know how you would act until you got into that scenario. So it's like, you want to help.
Right. Well, but here's the thing. If it's just me, like I'm like she is, it's just her going on this adventure by herself, right? If it's just me, I am all about self-preservation. But like if I'm with my family, then yeah, I'm going to try and like save my kids and whatever. But if it's just me, I want to get out of there. I'm going to save myself.
Also, like, so. I mean, like I said, I'm clumsy. I'm 5 feet tall. I weigh 150 pounds. Like I am not big or strong or skilled.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason I carry pepper spray. If I didn't have it, there isn't a lot that I would have to my advantage. Now, that is not to say that being small means that I am vulnerable or whatever. Like Ashley is 5 feet tall and weighs like 130 pounds and she can kick ass. So it's really just like me personally as Bethany, I'm small and a couple flickering lights and I'm going to have a seizure and go down. So I don't actually know how much help I would be.
Yeah, I get it. All right.
It was also like my instincts to like protect myself. Like you're a girl. Boys, if you're listening, you're about to be educated on what it's like to grow up as a girl. We are taught certain things as girls. We know yep. to use our keys as weapons. We know to grab sand and throw it in people's eyes. Like, so poke that is eyes. Like the skills that I have at my disposal is like harming people with anything within reach and screaming fire really loud because you're supposed to yell fire because people are more likely to respond if they think they're in danger than if they think a stranger is in danger. So yeah, I would true. Probably yell fire.
Me too. All right. Well, we're going to try and tranquilize Wolf. The problem here okay. is that it gets jammed in the ammunition cartridge so it doesn't come out. So Wolf is still coming at us. Let's see. And then she looks, and then we look down and our ring is missing and Scarlett's still shouting, off with her head. Cinder's like, can't you say anything else?
I loved that line.
Oh can't my gosh.
Else?
And then just as Wolf is about to grab us, the Jabberwocky comes in and then there's a raven that flies in, which the raven steals our engagement ring. So do we,
which birds do like shiny objects? So
they do.
I'm okay so, with it.
All right, Bethany, do you chase after the raven or do you hide from the Jabberwocky?
Hide.
Okay. I'm trying to think, like, as much as I would want to go after my engagement ring, here's the thing. It's a bird that has just taken it. It's not like a person right. How that I can
get,
chase.
Are you going to jump in the sky? It's right. a bird. If it was like a cat, maybe.
Right. But it's a bird. So I'm also going to hide.
Go anywhere.
Like the bird flies off with my ring. At this point, I'm thinking, well, that's it. It's gone. I'm just going to hide.
Never going to see that
again. Nope. Self-preservation. Also, we're going to hide from this dragon.
How are you going to tell the difference between it and every other black bird on the planet?
Yep, exactly.
Because if you're me and you're out in the open and a big black bird flies in front of you, I'm going to be like, I wonder if that's a raven or a crow or a hawk or I don't know. Unless it's like a teeny tiny little red or blue bird, I can't tell you exactly what it is.
Yeah.
And there are lots of birds that are around the same shape and size of a raven and the same color.
That's
so
very true.
Yeah. That ring is gone.
It's gone. So we're going to hide from the Jabberwock. All right. So there's other people hiding. Oh, and then we spot a silver tray that's on a doily that has rose pink macarons on it. And then a cat appears, not just any cat, Winter dressed like a cat, which I thought was absolutely hilarious, by the way. I loved that Winter was the cat. Oh my gosh. It would be Winter.
Right.
And it was perfect. So let's see. So we're talking to Winter, our Cheshire cat here. And then who's like not really any help because all she says is like, the macarons might help you or they might not. So we bite the macaron. In this case, there isn't a choice. We just do it. So we eat the macaron and then we start to shrink. We're getting smaller and smaller. And then we lean on the glass that's there and then we fall through it. And then what happens? Oh, we fall face off first off of a ledge. That's fantastic, Bethany. We've just fallen off of a ledge.
Yeah, that terrified me.
And then what happens is we open our eyes because we land on a plush carpet though. We fall off a ledge, but we land on a plush carpet and discover that we are back in our room, not dressed and ready and about to, and still need to get ready for our wedding. And Eichel's there with bunny ears on saying, let's get ready because you don't want to be late. And that's the ending of our story.
There's so many different like rabbit holes.
I know. Yes.
I was very proud of that. There's so many different rabbit holes you could dive down to get to the end of the story. And I think that's what makes this so much fun.
Yes.
And I want to point this out because I did Google it. There are 37 different birds that look like and are commonly mistaken for ravens. So what? If a big black bird flew off with my ring, it's gone.
Yeah, it's gone. Well, let me tell you.
How are you going to know which one has your ring?
And as somebody who has seen the movie, The Birds by Alfred Hitchcock.
Oh my God, it's terrifying.
There's no way I'm going after that stupid bird. There's no way.
Oh my God, right. Okay, so those of you listening, because most of my Patreon is very young. I'm assuming people like Sarah, hey Sarah, are listening and they're like, yeah, the birds are scary. And then everybody else is like, what's The Birds? The Birds is a very old horror film by Alfred Hitchcock. Please, even if you are really young, I really hope you know who that is. And it's literally these birds that attack and murder a village or city or town or whatever you want to call it. And if you're listening and you're thinking, that's not very scary, stop what you're doing, go watch that movie, and then come back and talk to me, because that is terrifying.
Oh, it is. And that was the exact reaction that I had. Like, I remember my mother telling me about The Birds and how, you know, she saw this movie and it terrified her when she was younger. And I was like, Mom, how can a movie about a bunch of birds be scary? Then when I was in college, I saw it and I was like, oh, okay. Now I get it. Yep. You're right. Totally creepy. And I can't look at those damn birds the same way anymore. I can't do it.
I will say this, like most people are scared of, or not scared of, but like have a healthy fear and respect for bees or wasps or hornets. Mm-hmm. So if you think that a big mass of hornets trying to sting you would suck, right? Mm-hmm. Like that would be a scary thing to happen to you. I want you to picture that. But with hundreds of thousands of birds.
Pecking your eyes out.
Well, a wasp can sting you. Have you ever been bitten by a bird?
Mm-mm.
Those things hurt. It's the beak is a very terrifying thing. And Adrian, no, not Adrian. Who has birds? Aiden on my Patreon, if she's listening, has birds. So she can tell you. Do not let how cute they are fool you. They will mess you up. You have been warned.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
Who knew that this episode came with a warning about birds?
I know.
Not me.
So when my husband and I, our very first date that we went on, he took me to go see we went to go see a Christmas carol because it was December. Okay. We went to go see a Christmas carol. We parked the car at the theater. We get out of the car and start walking through the parking lot, and it's night, you know, it was like the show is like 7 PM. Right. So, and it's winter. So it's darker. And I look up and on the power lines, I kid you not, were hundreds of freaking black birds. And I was like, this is our first date. And I freaked out. And he was like, what's the matter? I was like, have you ever seen The Birds by Alfred Hitchcock? Totally freaked out. I was like, we have to get into the theater fast. Walk fast.
It's absolutely terrifying. Yeah.
So all that to say, when you're reading Cinder's Adventure, don't follow the raven.
There was a famous comedic actress who has is it ornithophobia?
Something like that.
Something like that. And I don't know why I'm sitting here. Google exists. Ornithophobia, which is a fear of birds. And it's Lucille Ball. That's who I was thinking of. She was terrified of birds. So much so that she used to have people that their sole job was to make sure there weren't any birds around her when she was going in and out of set.
Huh. I did not know.
So their job was like to shoo away pigeons.
That's so crazy. I had no idea.
Yeah. I actually have had a crow in my house.
I haven't had a crow in my house, but I've had another bird. A
full-sized crow, which by the way, if you've never seen a full-sized crow, they are massive. They are like the size of your head. They're ginormous. Uh-huh. You see them on like electric poles hundreds of feet away. So you don't think they're that big, but they're huge. And Scamp, I have a video of it on my Facebook. Scamp one time, he caught a crow and brought it into the house for me.
Oh, but it was so thoughtful. Dead. Oh,
he tried to kill it while it was in the house.
Okay.
Yeah, it was horrible. But he does this. Whenever Quentin like goes out of town, Scamp takes it upon himself to kill an animal and give it to me so that I won't starve to death.
That's very nice of him.
Is it?
It's so thoughtful and loving of him.
And not at all terrifying or.
No, he just wants to take care of you, Bethany.
Yeah.
He's looking out for you while your husband is gone. That's very nice.
I will say he got a squirrel once and I was really torn up about it because like the vegetarian in me is like, oh no, he killed a squirrel. But like the dog mom in me is like, but he's been chasing squirrels for 8 years. So this is kind of like a big win for him.
Yeah. You got to give it to him.
Oh my gosh. If anybody in the Lunar Chronicles universe was afraid of birds, who would it be?
Iko.
Iko. I was going to say Jason.
Oh yeah, I could totally see that too.
Just because there's so many lunars that like dress as birds, I could see him like associating birds with negativity before he even got exposed to birds on Earth. And then like he gets to Earth and sees the sheer mass amount of birds and all the different types of birds that are on the planet. And I could see him being like, I don't like those things. I don't trust those things.
That makes sense. Iko actually would probably just be annoyed by them, really.
I could see Iko being annoyed by them.
Yeah. Thorn would be annoyed. Yeah. That.
Thorn.
Maybe Cress.
Maybe Thorn would be like cautious because he would like invade the ship. Yeah, but Cress also is like, I don't know. Maybe Cress.
All right. Well, I could also something see, to ponder.
Yeah. Message me. And if you're on Leah's Patreon and you're listening to this, you can message me too, princeskyfanpod@gmail.com. I will answer. Mm-hmm. And let me know who you think would be afraid of birds and please give me a reason why.
Yes, that would be great.
Are you afraid of anything?
Besides ravens or crows? okay, I will say poisonous snakes. And that's because I live somewhere where there are poisonous snakes and it freaks me out. Yeah. Like because I feel like snakes are so unpredictable, like they can just, and they're fast. So like, if you come across one of those things, like the non-poisonous ones, and this is, I've had this experience when we first moved down here to South Carolina. Okay. Cause we had both non-poisonous and poisonous snakes in our yard. So I feel like the non-poisonous snakes are often more scared of you and they like go away, like they slither away. But the poisonous, right, but
snake, poisonous snakes have a defense mechanism.
Yeah. Like, and it just, when we saw it, like it just sat there and stared at us. And I was like, oh my God, it's going to attack any second. Now it's going to just like jump out at me and like bite me and I'm going to die from snake venom. So it's really bad. So poisonous snakes are my other one. Yeah. Besides the birds, you know, thanks Alfred Hitchcock. Otherwise I'm good. You know, I mean, I hate all the bugs that are down here, but like I can deal with it. I just kill them.
It's more fun. Like an annoyance than a fear.
Yeah. It's more like an annoyance and it's gross. Why are you in my house kind of thing? The lizards are cute. I don't really care about lizards. It's fine. My boys have fun playing with them. So it's just the poison, the things that could kill me, you know, like the poisonous snakes. That's where I draw the line. Like, nope, no, we're good. All right. Anyways, now that we've gone off on this fun tangent, but if you're one of our Patreon members, you know that this is what we do. So it's fine. You're welcome. Anyway, I hope
anybody who is on our Patreon and saw that we were doing an episode together and didn't expect tangents might not be very familiar with our Patreon.
No.
Or our episodes.
Our episodes. Normally.
They might be new. So welcome. If this is your first, if this is your first like experience with me, Bethany, I like to think I'm a little bit more put together on my podcast, but
it's fine.
Right now I'm like in a weird headspace and I have a lot going on. So
it's fine. This is what we do. We have hour and a half to possibly longer sometimes episodes where we do get to the source material, but we do also go off on lots of tangents, but it's fine.
We are like Cinder's Adventure. You have to go through all the rabbit holes to get to it.
That's right. Ta-da!
Yeah, I brought it back.
Thank you. You did good.
Cassie would be proud of me.
Yes, yes. All right. So we have come to the end of our adventure for today because it's getting late and I have to go to bed soon, you guys. Anyways, but we didn't make it to the wedding, but we made it to, we died once and then we made it to our preparations for the wedding. So we got close, Bethany.
We got close. I don't know. You know, honestly, I might just stay in my room.
Well, hey, you know,
I don't know. Luckily, I got married at a courthouse and it was real simple. We got dressed together. We drove there together. We drove away from there together.
So nice.
Like there's no concern about someone not getting there because we were in the same car on the way there.
So much easier. Anyways, well, this was fun. I'm so glad that Marissa did this because this was so much fun. And again, yes. Cinder's Adventure brought me back to my childhood of reading all of the Choose Your Own Adventure books. And it's just so fun. There's just something magical about it. So anyways, I loved it.
I'm going to go and say like, if you enjoyed this and you want to experience those types of books, it's literally called Choose Your Own Adventure. Mm-hmm. Or what was the secret one? I'm going to Google it.
Okay.
Secret Path books. And it's on, I don't know if they print them anymore, but if you can go to your library and get your hands on a few of them, they are a lot of fun. And yes. if you're reading it and you think this is a kid's book, I can do this. You might be surprised in your lack of abilities. It's like me. Like I watch a lot of Grey's Anatomy, but I can't actually do anything in a hospital.
This is true. Me either. I'd be clueless.
I watch a lot of Law and Order, but I can't figure anything out detective wise. I can't figure out anything. I'm terrible at predicting things.
That's okay. Oh, all right. Well, this was lots of fun. I will try and remember to find if I can find them online, like on Amazon or something, links to put in to get Choose Your Own Adventure books and stuff. So you guys can check them out.
Real quick, before I forget, let me check my Patreon and see if there were any suggestions for our name.
Oh, yes. Because we need a married podcast. So Amanda name.
From Fictional Hangover Podcast is the only one that posted, and she chose PKYA Fan Chat.
I like that.
I also like.
All right.
Love it.
Very nice. All right. So, well, if we come up with other names by the time that this goes up on our Patreons, then we'll have to put them in the notes.
We'll have to put them in the chat. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Bethany. Fun as always.
Thank you. And thank you in advance because you're going to be nice enough to help me edit this.
No problem.
By help, I mean doing it for me. So thanks.
It's fine. It's not a big deal. All right. So now we get to, now you guys, because there's two of us, you get to get both of our taglines here. So we'll chat again soon and
Don't get glamored.
Bye.
Bye.